Forgot to put my little sound box on. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I was reading an article earlier about that coronavirus. I'm sure you've all heard about that thing. And over in China, and it's working its way around, I guess, and they got 1,000 cases or more of it. China's taking the heat of it, and everybody's, you know, saying all kinds of things about it and how deadly it is. And I thought to myself, the flu virus is pretty deadly right here in America, let alone everywhere else that the flu is. So, you know me, I looked on, did a little Google on it, and I went to the CDC about what's the flu here in America, how many have died from the flu. I couldn't believe all the deaths right here in America that have happened, and I think it was something, it ran on a range from 16 to 60,000 per year in America have died from the flu since 2010. So you do the math. 10 years, we'll go on the high end, you know, if it's 60,000 times 10, that's 600,000 people died from the flu in our country. Just in the last 10 years, that's a lot, let alone the hospitalizations and sicknesses and those kinds of things. I'm not excited about the coronavirus, and I imagine it is a deadly thing, and we certainly don't want that. But the flu is just as bad. There's other things that can do us in just as quickly as that. Be in prayer for those if you know anyone. I hope you don't know anybody who has that coronavirus. But be in prayer for those as you hear them get that we can bring that to a halt and continue to work on the flu virus itself, get the right medications out there to help people who get it, and stop as many deaths as we can from it. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, let's go ahead and hold them up. We'll quickly transition to God's Word, amen. And I promised you in this last week, I said things are going to be interesting in the book of Ezekiel. If you go back to Daniel, it's the book just before that, and it's the book of Ezekiel. I've never, I think I've quoted some verses out of it, and I may have preached about the dry bones, but pastor's never really been in the book of Ezekiel since I've been here. In times before that, again, it was just some minor things, but I've never went through the whole book itself like we just did with Daniel. And I thought, you know, this would be a real good a book for us to continue in this study of prophecy as we have been doing. And last week I gave 9 good reasons why we as a church should study prophecy. Now, some time ago, it's been 6 years ago, I think, when we finished up on the minor prophets, 7 years, 8 years, time it seems to fly. But Pastor made up a nice trifold of the minor prophets, and on the back I had a nice timeline of them and the things that they saw and foresaw. And in that timeline, well, that lined up a lot with what Daniel had said, and I've been studying Ezekiel. I'm trying to stay ahead of you all here a little bit in my studies, but as I'm looking out and ahead, I'm saying, you know what, Ezekiel's timeline goes right along with those minor prophets as well. Well, why do you think that is? Well, it's all God's Word. We're not to be intimidated by it, because the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's good for us to study it. There's a lot of benefits to that. And so I'm really looking forward to getting into Ezekiel. We had some introductory things that we looked at last week. Ezekiel's name means that God strengthens. He was a priest, and he was given to be a prophet, a priestly prophet. We know that Jesus was a prophet, a priest, and a king. Ezekiel was born to a priestly family, and he was later to be a prophet of the Lord. And his timeline overlapped with Daniel's timeline during the Babylonian captivity of God's people, those 70 years that they were dealt with. And so they both were pre-God's people at this time, and both of them were, during this exile, both of them were out of Jerusalem and out of the Hebrew promised land. And so as they preached to God's people in their different places and things, God led them both to have great visions. And they both were men of prophecy who saw different things. And we're going to see that here tonight. You look at verse 1, and it says in the last part of it, I saw visions of God. And so the man Ezekiel, right out of the chute here, begins to talk about things that seem a little bit like, well, what do you mean visions? What happened here? And he goes on, and then he says, on the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly, meaning directly, unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And we looked at the different places where the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel throughout the 40 chapters or so of this book of Ezekiel. And it's pretty interesting. And we stopped there because I had a lot to say about other things as an introduction to the book of Ezekiel. But tonight we're going to find here, beginning verse 4 of chapter 1, how Ezekiel is tossed right into the fray, so to say, okay, the prophetic fray, the things that were happening then as God was going to use this man. And it seems like, boy, what's going on here? But the first two or three chapters are just the calling of Ezekiel to carry out God's will. And so he first gets a dose of a good godly vision, and from there he's kind of rattled and what have you, but he figures out, he's told and he's given direction to say, you're called of God for this purpose. And so it's quite an incredible book. I think we're going to enjoy it very much, and we should be able to take the handout that we had from Daniel. How many of you had that? You should have gotten it. If you don't have it, you want one, I got a couple up here. Anybody need one? This was Daniel's. Anybody need one? Don't be shy. David wants one to color on, okay. And Pastor John, let me give you these, and you can hand these out, if you'd be so kind. Just give everybody one. We got enough. Everybody can get one. I took the liberty of making this on the book of Ezekiel, and I think this will help us in this study tonight as we begin. And you can use that. There's some small print on it. You might have to get the magnifying glass at home for some of it, but it would be worth it as we go through this. It's just to give you some structure to look at as we go through here. A timeline, it will greatly help us. I like it in our business meetings when we hand out different things for people to look at. And this is a meeting, isn't it? A meeting for God's Word. And so we're handing out information. Good pictures here. God's Word takes a priority, though, okay? Remember that. The pictures here that men have drawn, they don't capture the essence of God's Word, but they do give us a pretty good idea of the flow of it and how things are going, and give us things to think about and to meditate upon and to be at wonder concerning God's Word. And so let me read, beginning in verse 4 here tonight. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the mist thereof, as the color of amber, out of the mist of the fire. Also out of the mist thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father, we thank you tonight for the book of Ezekiel. And Lord, it's a wonderful opportunity for us as a church to study your word here. Lord, sometimes we have what we would call some scripture passages that are milk, and then we'd have some that are a little bit more heavier, and then we have some real meat, and this appears to be from the get-go here, Lord, to be meat, but we know and trust that your Holy Spirit in us can enlighten us on your word and your plans for the future from the book of Ezekiel, just like the rest of your Bible does, if we just take our time and go through it accordingly and in order. And Father, I just pray and ask your illumination then to all of us, for we pray and ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. And so Ezekiel the priest here, he saw visions of God, and here's his first one here. But it's kind of interesting. He says, I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, and a great cloud, and a fire, and folding the south, and a brightness was about it, and out of the mist thereof, as the color of amber, out of the mist of the fire. The amber there, giving an idea of an amber, of the idea of a glowing metal. And so, it's funny, as he says here, out of a whirlwind came these things. He was just standing there, and then this vision just came to him this way. And it was something pretty big that was packaged inside of it. We spend the whole first chapter here looking at it. But verse 5 says, out of the mist thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And of course, you can look at your thing here. This big cluster here, this is really front-loaded, okay, this timeline. We start over on the left, and you go to the front. This is chapter 1, and you see all these figures here and what he's talking about. Now, Randy, what I'd like you to do is if you'd go to that slide 1, please. Now, this is one rendition of the pictures. Clarence Larkin did these back in right around, I think it would have been 1900, so 120 years ago, and he is he's the man when it comes to graphs. I told you that before. I'd like to give you his work, because if you see any others in any other books, guess where they came from and what was studied so they could do those? These right here, okay? And so he gives you his vision of what he saw when he was looking at this line by line and characteristic by characteristic. Up here, this is a nice colorful picture, you know, and it just singles out one of these characters, but we know they're all four together. So let me kind of read through this. You can follow along and look at this image up above me. And it says in verse 6, and every one of these four who had the likeness of a man, every one had four faces. Isn't that interesting? And now you think about that for a minute. You know a lot of people who are two-faced, right? How many of you know that are four-faced? Each one of them had four faces, and every one had four wings. And so right away, there's two things. They had four faces, and every one of them had four wings. I see the rendition here of Larkin, and in this artwork here, you can see the wings. I don't know how well you see them presented, but they're on the side of this man-like figure here, and then two of them are pointing up. And that's what Ezekiel says. He says in verse 7, and their feet were straight feet. And so what does that mean? Well, it means they didn't come down to an ankle and then go out this way. They just come straight down. They were just straight feet. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. You can see that on this picture here. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Now, on my computer, I could see that. You can see the kind of a little shine on one or two of the calf nails, whatever you call those, the hoofs there. And they kind of have that color to them. This is an artiste rendition, okay? So it's not perfect, but it does give us something to put in our own mind, because if you're just reading this, it's hard to visualize this vision that Ezekiel had, and he's giving an explanation here. And guess what, folks? I believe Ezekiel had a problem with this on his own. He could not have recalled what he saw. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write these words and helped him remember what he had saw and put those things here because it was something out of his world, something he had never experienced before whatsoever. And so it says the sole of a calf's feet. That's what their feet were like. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had, this is the sixth thing I found, the hands of a man under the wings of their four sides. Clarence, I can see them. I think he has his cross like this, the hands. And here you can kind of see him busting out on the side. You see him right about here? And so they've got the hands that they're showing of a man there under the wings as well. And it goes on and it says in verse 8, they forehead their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. 9, they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. I had to think about that one for a while. Just think of this picture here. All four of these creatures together. And they're walking, or not walking, they just move straight. They didn't turn like we do with our feet and that. They just went straight. This picture wouldn't change. It just moved like this wherever they were going. That's one description. He gets into another one here in a few minutes. And so I found that to be interesting as he looked at them. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, now I want you to look here at this picture. I think you'll be able to see. See if you can find an error in this up here with what the Bible says. It says, as for the likeness of their faces, they four, every one of them, had the face of a man. How many of you see the face of the man up there? Okay, and the face of a lion. How many of you see the lion? Everybody see it? All right. And do you see them on the right side? Okay. And they four had the face of an ox. How many of you see an ox up there? I don't see no ox up there, but I see a representation. It looks more like a cow to me. So I'm like, moo, what is that? Yep, there that cow is there. And what side is that cow on? Okay. What side is it when you look at it? All right, we'll leave that cow up there. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now, I can pick out the eagle. So I just had a little bit, you know, with this cow thing here. I have another picture in a minute, and you'll see it. It is a better representation of this. But they were all four-faced, and they had these things on them. Well, what does each of those mean, Pastor? Well, I don't know yet. But I'm sure it's going to be revealed to Ezekiel, and we're going to find out as we go along on this little journey here what each of those things meant. But it says in verse 11, as we continue on, thus there were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. Now there's 16 characteristics described already. And they went, every one straight, in verse 12, forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. All I could figure about this is that how they moved. This was the direction that they moved. He's going to talk about the speed here in a minute. But they just moved, and all of them moved together. I found that very interesting, almost like they were tied together, but that's not the scenario. It's a little bit more intelligent than that. I don't know what we're looking at, but I know this is something that's not of our world, okay? This is a living creature here that he saw. It's pretty incredible. Look at verse 11. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Now you can see that lightning there and the fire of coals. It has that color to it. And the artist did a pretty good job. I have to give him credit for that. the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. Now in verse 14 it says, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So we know the direction, how they moved, okay? They didn't turn, they would just, wherever they were going, they would go. But more than that, the speed was like lightning, it says. The living creatures, and that's what he called them, living, ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So they must have went out of his vision and came back, and all that happened in quite an ordeal there. Now, I don't know about you, but Ezekiel, here he is, he's about 30-some years old, and the Lord is calling him to be a prophet, and he will minister for about 22 years as a prophet of God to God's people who are in exile in Babylon. And God starts him out with this vision. And it's quite a impressive image that's kind of stamped on the mind of Ezekiel. You can just see this, and it's quite the thing. Now, I've got another picture. Randy, if you would put picture number 2 up there. Isn't that pretty? That's pretty different, isn't it? Now, this is an artist, you know, Dolores Develd, and it's an artist's rendition of what Ezekiel saw. And I like it because it does, it makes you think, well, yeah, that's what it says, and you can look at the things there. Now, let me go through the particular characteristics here because there's an expansion of things here. The vision that he saw, he didn't just give one view of it. He actually got a couple different views of this vision of God, or he called it in verse 1, visions of God. And so he saw a couple different things here. And he says here in verse 15, now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And so you look up there and you can see their four faces again. You can see they each have a wheel, looks like these. It's two wheels, one in the inside of the other one. And they're at a 90-degree angle, and I guess they could move just about in any direction. They would roll or whatever, and they would help. They would follow the angels is what we'll see, these living creatures. And he says, the appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a beryl, meaning a gold glowing gem. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And so you see that picture, they've depicted it quite well there. And verse 17 says, when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not. And so they had a oneness of movement. As I was going through this and just asking the Lord to help me understand what was happening here, that just come to my mind that, you know, they had a oneness about them. Everything they did was together, this oneness of movement and oneness of appearance and what have you. And it says in verse 18, as for their rings... Now, the rings are simply rims. They were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about them four. Did you pick that up when I first showed you this picture? Those are all eyes on there. I thought about that too. I looked at what some other commentators said about this and some of the prophecy specialist theologians. And it's pretty conclusive. They said that these eyes represent intelligence and all seeing, all knowing. And so I found that to be interesting. Infinite intelligence. And it says here that they were so high that they were dreadful. I really didn't see it in this picture. The dreadfulness of them wasn't really displayed. But that, we got a good idea of what they are. And to Ezekiel, remember, the man who saw them, his first impressions of these things were like, oh boy, That's kind of scary. And he's just taking it all in. And so he's later on, as he's inspired to write these things here, he's recalling all these things again. And he says, you know, he was afraid of this when he first saw it. The rings were full of eyes round about them four. I think, they were high, but that made them dreadful, but so did those eyes. Just imagine those eyes on that thing, and they're looking at you while you're viewing this vision. It's kind of an intimidating thing, isn't it? And like, what in the world is going on here? And then in verse 19, the Bible says, and when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up with them. So they moved up, and then they moved down. They moved this way, that way, and the wheels followed them wherever they went. And so they were connected somehow. Interesting, but that's how they moved. The only way I can relate to that is think about the Holy Spirit in us. I'm moving over here. The Holy Spirit's moving with me. What do you think? I'm moving over here. God said His Holy Spirit He's placed in us. So where we're moving, the living Holy Spirit is in us. It's kind of a thoughtful thing here that wherever they move, that the wheels moved with them. Of course, when I say they, I might be getting you confused, because Ezekiel saw the wheels as a living a spirit as well. It says, and when the living creatures, in verse 19, went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was, what? In the wheels. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is a vision, okay? Ezekiel is being illuminated by God of a heavenly vision here. These things are happening somewhere where God took him, okay? And what he revealed to him. And what an interesting thing. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. That's why it all moved together. When those went, these went. And when those stood, in verse 21, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now he mentions that twice. It just must have really been something like, wow, that's really hard to take in. But they're inside those wheels too. It's all connected by the Spirit. That's why I felt like these rings here, the rims here with the eyes, were just representing an infinite wisdom, an infinite being, if you will. I'm not saying that was God or anything like that. I'm just saying they were heavenly beings living in heaven there, and this vision was revealing this to Ezekiel. Now we know there's some other visions in Scripture that seem to be a mystery as well. This was a mystery to Ezekiel, but God will eventually spell these things out to him, and we'll see them. Here in chapter 1, as you come back to this picture here, I like the way that Larkin just put them all together here. Larkin, as far as I know, had no colored prints like this. And they might not have had a covered or colored printer at that time to do that kind of work, but they did have black and white, and he was able to make copies of these things and put them into book forms. But if there was color added to these, you know, you could take that and color it in. It's pretty incredible how well he made this image here of what was happening, this image that Ezekiel had saw. Now, Clarence Larkin was an engineer. And so he used his pen. He knew how to draw things, and he thought he thought in that way with timelines and how things were connected, and he was really good at reading what God's Word says and then putting it on some kind of an image or drawing it out in such a way like an architect would, who they would listen to what you said when they're building a home, and they say, they would see what you saw just from your words, and they would try to put it into a blueprint, if you will, of a home, and they'd say, is this what you meant? Yes, that's what I meant. Let's change this, though, and this, and they make some adjustments to it, and you've got a nice picture now how to build a home. Here, Ezekiel was given a little bit more here and some additions to this vision that he had, and he was beginning to be able to put it all together. And Larkin was able to capture that here, and as an engineer, he was able to begin to put that on here in his own words. I read up on the man. I have several of his books. But he was able to put these things out, and he felt, you know, God, the Holy Spirit in him, had helped him to understand the scripture passages and put them all out on graphs like this to be a help to others. It's interesting because his just started out as little trifolds, and he used to put different lines like I did with the minor prophets, and he would draw out things on there, but it really started catching fire in the early 1900s. And started catching fire with churches around, and they wanted more of it. And so he took his things that he did, and he put it into a book, and then he wrote a couple other books, and they helped him print it, and it just kind of run out, or it just kind of took off, if you will. And many, many of his books were made to help people understand prophecy in Scripture. Well, I don't want to disappoint you, so I have another image. We're not done yet, okay? Now look here at verse 22, and Randy, if you would give us slide number 3. Oh, wait a minute. Stay here. Well, go back to that other one. I want to point something out here. I don't know if you saw it, but didn't it look funny? Because their four faces on this side look like they should have been turned around on the other side. Is that how you see things, or is it just me? Yeah, and so I was a little bit, you know, I just would have swapped those around. And the man figure there, you know, that just looked like Samson or something. I didn't know what that represented. So this next picture helps us out. Would you put that up, Randy? There's your wheels, there's your living beings. The spirit of the beings were in their wheels. When they went up, the wheels went down. When they moved, the wheels just followed them wherever they went and all the movements that they made. Now, let me read what Ezekiel tells us here as you look at that. And if you want to follow along here, of course, I'd like you to do that as well. But verse 22 of chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel says, "And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above." A crystal is, you think of ice or some frost, you know, it looked like that. And it was kind of a frightening thing for him as well, he says. But the firmament is, think of a visible arc of the sky or an expanse. And the root word for it is in the Hebrew there, means thin sheets of metal. Isn't that interesting? I mean, if you had a 4x8, you know, a piece of metal, a sheet metal, we'll need just about that much when we do one of our road signs if we go that direction. But just think of a piece of sheet metal. And that's the idea here, is this sheet of this frosty ice-looking thing. That's the firmament just above their heads and above the wheels, where you can see reflections and things in there. So when you think of firmament, think of those things. And I guess this person who did this rendition, it was hard to, the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. He captured that pretty good. It doesn't look like a terrible color, it just looks kind of frosty. But he goes on in verse 23, and under the firmament were the wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament, you see it up there, that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Now, I think this artist here captures this pretty good. I mean, just imagine yourself going through all these 20, 30 characteristics and trying to draw this out. It's kind of hard to do, but they did a good job here. And it says, above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was a likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. In that picture, it's kind of like right here from his neck going all the way down to his toes. You can see that amber color there, that fire, that hot fire look. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. And we can see the rainbow behind him there. And so we recognize that that's a pretty good description here that's drawn out as well. And he says, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. The likeness, okay? And so, you remember in illustrations, you have things that are as this is, so is that, like this is, so is that. And so this here was a likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And so the appearance up here of that cloud, and I believe it also shows that, yeah, the lightning coming out of it and strikes. I thought this was a nice capture of what Ezekiel was saying. It just gives us something to frame our mind with this first chapter, because there's a lot of chapters in this book. This is just the beginning of it, and I think these give us a good foundation to begin. Now, I know about you, I don't know about you, but I know that visions were used often in the Old Testament, and God spoke to people through visions. I'm glad we, you know, God has decided to give us his word, aren't you? It's a little bit easier to read about it and just believe what it says. I mean, if God wanted to give me a vision, you know, something like that, he would do it, or he'd do it with anyone. But I think just saying that is kind of silly, because God's already given us everything that we need right here. But the visions for these prophets of old were quite the, think of a cattle, a baby cow, a calf, when they go and they want to brand it, and a mark they leave on you. This must have really, you know, left an indelible mark on the mind of Ezekiel, the prophet. And he would carry this forward, and when he preached to God's word, this vision that he saw must have just been there. Like, you know, they couldn't get it from him, but he was the one who saw it. But it must have just encouraged his ministry of prophecy as the Lord had showed him this here. You and I do not have these visions here, but we've got God's word, and we can share in the vision that Ezekiel had, as well as the other things that we'll see as we get along with them. Why? Because we have God's word. I'm not sure of everything. I've read through Ezekiel many a times. I'm not sure of everything the Lord is going to show us as we go through this, but I know this. In the end, we're going to say, thank you, Lord. What an incredible book that we have discovered here. Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had tonight to look at the book of Ezekiel and just to consider the great truths that we find there, this truth of a vision that the prophet Ezekiel saw and was privy to. Help us, Lord, not to get too enamored with all that, but rather to understand the purpose of this vision as we continue in this study in the coming weeks, in the next several months. Just help us, Lord, to have a good understanding of what this vision meant and how it all ties in together with your plan that the other prophets saw as well. And we give you the praise and we'll give you the thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll let Sheila play an invitation song. If you'd like to come up here tonight and pray, please feel free to do that.